finish up. Okay? The other day I was up there teaching and whoever preaching, granted something, I said, boy, I'm so glad you didn't leave that marker. I reached in my pocket and I had it in my pocket. But we'll continue on. I made this a slide of the seven churches. I thought about asking questions. I couldn't remember all he said about the seven churches. So I said, well, I'll just make a slide. And I got 7 points under that. Do you think they would come and come?
Yes.
All right, we're going to see. Sure it is. I'm going to have a quick talk about it. I was about ready to put you in the same category with this computer and with Doug. Doug and the computer likes each other. I think you're on mine, Larry's side, and everybody else's side. Okay? Do you remember what he said about Ephesus?
Following from their first love.
Yes. You said they're reading the Bible again? A good girl. I didn't think he was that smart. No, I knew he was that smart. Yeah, she gave us. And see, my screen don't show what your screen shows. So, loss of love. And the Lord said they had good endurance. They left their first love. And he said you need to correct that. Okay? I'm sorry, I'll probably have to teach my back to you. This Jack Blake computer guy we got.
Want to try this?
I don't know. If you know anything about it, you know more than I do about it. Just simply.
That's a try.
Either way I want to go. All right, the next one we talked about was Smyrna. Didn't do nothing.
Didn't do anything.
To stand up here in front of everybody. Smyrna was no rebuke. He encouraged them as they endured persecution. Now, we made a statement that these seven churches are representative of all the churches for all time. So when we look at them, we need to look at Southside. Okay? We're going to, in a few moments, the next slide, hopefully, we're going to change from earth, God's footstool, to heaven around his throne. And he's going to give us an overview of what's going to happen here. And the church at this time is through persecution, and it will be through persecution and tribulation until Jesus comes again. So what does he tell us?
Page 20 says, he who has an ear, let him hear.
Yes.
It also says, be faithful unto death.
Yes. You people, my church, you're going through some troubled times until I come again. But I want you to be faithful, holy, righteous, as I am. Do I need to get this up here,
Larry? No. Okay.
So he gives a description. And it has to be God sitting on the throne. God is a spirit.
If Carol Jean was talking about me and getting him the description, he said, well, Charlie, he's about 6'2", 245, a hunk of a man. But you can't do that to God. Because he doesn't have those physical attributes. So you say that he is holy, he is righteous, he is a spirit. John, the fourth chapter, says he is a spirit. Jesus Christ is a spirit. So that's one of the reasons we're going to have some symbolic language. Put it in a language that we can kind of understand. How does he do this? Yes, the Holy Spirit is very active in this. But in human language, he starts telling us about some jewels. And we can relate to that. The splendor and how beautiful it is, and about heaven and about God and so forth. So he puts it in human terms so that we can kind of get a little bit understanding. Now, we might not know all the symbolic language and from now to Revelation, and we might not agree upon it, but we can get the overall picture. What he's showing is God is on in heaven. I just finished telling my seven churches here there's some things that you need to do, and we need to do that. So we'll try it again. Pergamons. And see if I can get... This is a terrible thing to say about the Lord's church. It was a site of Satan's throne. Yes, sir?
Think about Revelation. It's a lot of symbolic language.
Yes, sir?
But we know one thing for certain. It does not violate any scripture in the other part of the Bible.
Yes, sir?
It's very clearly taught.
Now, in fact, the whole Bible should do that. So if we see something that's contradicted, then whatever we put on this is wrong. So, this is what they're talking about. Next one is Thyatira. He says, Jezebel was a self-proclaimed prophet or a group of people or something, and they lack discernment and they tolerate immorality. This cannot ever be in the church. If somebody comes in here and tell us that they are a prophet or a prophetess, then we need to prove that, you know. And we can't be tolerant of sin within the church. And they were. And God said, I got this against you. You need to repent. You need to change. Especially before I come back. Sardis. Reputation of being alive, but are dead. In other words, he tells them, you wake up. Wake up. Be alarmed what's going inside and outside. Philadelphia was weak, but they was holding fast to Jesus. And he said, that's fine. You just hold on to Jesus. Eventually, you're going to get stronger. Because Jesus is going to make you stronger. Then we come to the last one. Laodicea, which is fresh on our mind. And you remember they was not cold. They were spiritually poor, but rich materially. If you're going to choose one of the two, it should be the other way around. Shouldn't it? So he says, I won't tolerate that in you. So this finishes the third chapter and the seven churches of Asia. At least with all the material that Doug left me, and I went over his material. So now we're going to go to the fourth chapter. This is says overview of the fourth chapter. Really, this should be a revelation. It's not just the fourth chapter. I seen that and caught that typed in there, but I never take the trouble to change it because it was already on my flash drive. But Revelation unveils the unseen spirit war in which the church is engaged. And that's what we're in. And Revelation brings that out. We shouldn't be surprised that we're in a spiritual warfare. We are. And God wanted His church and His people to know that and to expect that. It's going to be that the duration of the church's history or until Jesus comes again. What are you going to have to do? Well, we might have to go through tribulation. We might have to go through persecution. We might lose our life. But it doesn't matter. We remain holy. This is what the book of Revelation is trying to teach us. And he does that in the fourth chapter too. God in Christ is on one hand and Satan and his devil allies is on the other. That's what it brings about. He brings John up and shows him and gives him vision. You know, you've seen this show on television, something like Price or Right, I think. He says, come on down. Well, that's what he does to John. He said, you come on up here. He opens the door and he said, let me show you a vision. He puts John in the spirit. You know what that means? That he could understand what the Holy Spirit is going to be revealing to him. He said, I'm going to show you that you need it. The church is going to be going through persecution, bad times. The Roman Empire that you're under right now is going to be terrible. I want you to know. I want you to know. Domitian is not the one, the emperor is not the one in charge. God is. The throne is not here on earth. It's in heaven. And I know what my church is going to go through, what my people is going through. But you remain holy. You can do that. Matter of fact, my son went through tribulation and persecution. And you, my son, my children, can too. So I'm going to give you a little view of a little history of it. Jesus, the Lamb, has already won the victory through His sacrificial death. A lot of people say, oh, the Lord didn't catch you in the cap. He's dead. He's gone. No. These visions show that the Lamb is risen. He's with God Almighty. He's carrying out the functions like He did from the very beginning. And the Holy Spirit is revealing this to us. There's none greater, none holier than God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't care how powerful the Roman Empire is. I don't care how much ISIS invades the United States. It doesn't make any difference. Whatever you go through, you remain holy. Okay? He says, but if church continued to be assaulted by the dragon, persecution, false teaching, and material influence. It's been over 2,000 years and we're still going through it. You know why? The Lord hasn't come back yet. Aren't you glad you didn't go around him? Just kidding. Don't tell Nate I said that. I picked on Nate's when he said, who do I need to talk to? I've been asked to go to Round Hill and preach. He said, I'd really like to go. And I said, well, I said, I guess you're talking to the guy. I said, I'll just swap with you. I said, I don't have nobody here for Sunday night. I'll move up to Sunday morning. You take Sunday night. I said, the only thing wrong with that, I said, boy, you don't have no idea what you're following. But you won't be here. It won't make no difference to you. But then show up and his family's here. I remember when I was about Nate's age, I started preaching around congregation. Not that I was so good. Nate's got the ability to preach. You'll find that out tonight. But these places don't have nobody. And I remember one time I was trying to recollect, I had to go 8 times in a row, 8 different places. One time, Cindy and I and the girls was going out the door and I got a call. So I said, okay, I'll be there. Really, I had in mind, when I retired, I would draw my Social Security. And I was offered a job to preach for, not that it's my ability, it's just because they can't get nobody. Round Hill can't get nobody now. They got somebody from the east side going over there. But here we got probably about 4 guys that can preach. They don't get to preach as much as they should, like to. Doug wants to do all the preaching, but Larry's the only one here. When we hired Doug, I told Doug, I said, you won't have to do all the preaching and the teaching, but he wants to do that. But when they're gone, we got about 4 guys can preach, as evidence of 2 last week, that we couldn't bring anybody in any better than that. So the elders kind of let them do that. I tell them, I said, if you have any problems, call me. Well, these last 2 weeks, we had 3 different shifts changed around. So I got called. I said, try not to wait until Sunday morning at 8:30 to call me. But if you have to, you have to. I've been called before. I walked there at 12th Street, walked in the classroom, my co-instructor standing at the door, and he said, can you teach today? I got a sore throat. So sometimes they don't give you no warning or anything, nothing down. But this is what we've got. This is Revelation. Jesus the Lamb has already won the victory. If he won the victory, then that means his servants. That means we going to win. He went through a lot. We might have to go through a lot. You know what the bottom line of that is? Heaven's going to be worth it. You speak, Lord, I'll do it. Is the attitude what we have to have. We was on the way there. I seen Christine there. She's got a trait that I really admire. She never complains. She always smiles. Go along with everything. Easiest getting along woman you ever want to see. I don't mean to embarrass her, but Cindy was reading to me an article on the paper. She used to read my Bible lesson to me on the way to church, and I tried to go over it, you know. But now she reads the newspaper. She's given up on me. She can't change my mind. Never be able to do it. But she said, you know what age is right now that they classify as being old? I said, I'm old right now. She said, 80. Sorry, Bobby. I know Bobby just had a birthday. I'm not picking on you, Bobby. But Christine's. Up, but you couldn't tell either one of those ladies are. And they said people classify 60 and 70 as not being old no more. Freddie, you're not old, but they're lying. They don't know what they're talking about. You are old. You're just like I am. But I said, it all depends whoever wrote that article. If they was in my shoe, they would think they're old. You know. But Christine just... sweet as they come, she just smiles and keep on ticking. Just think, Rose, you might be that way one of these days. It's bred into you. All right, let's go on. The church trials and temptation during the time between Christ's first and second coming. That's Revelation. That's what God is trying to show us. He's not trying to hide anything. And he doesn't want Southside nowhere. I'm going up here on my throne where there's nothing righteous and holy angels around worshiping me. And I forgot about my people on earth. I know about you. He just proved that in the 3rd chapter. But I want to give you some reassurance. I still call the shots. I am God Almighty. we cannot forget that. You know why? That's how we endure things. I'm just here a short period of time, say 80 years. That's okay. Some of the young people say, "Well, 80 years is a long time." No, it's not a long time. But we got to keep in mind that God is there with us. And that's what we have the book of Revelation about. Christ will triumph. And his vision granted to John both warns the church to endure and to stay pure. My friends and brothers and sisters, if Revelation can install that in our thick head, we have got Revelation down. We might get hung up on some of the symbolic terms from now to the end. But the overall theme of Revelation is, I know I am in charge, I'm with you, you remain holy and pure and you can, and I'll give you a home, a crown of life forever. Amen. If we can grasp that, and the instructors have done a pretty good job on Revelation. I admit that. They're both gone. But they've done a good job. And I assume that they're going to keep on teaching and living that way. And why I look at this, Tom, would you tell me something in layman terms that I can do between now and Wednesday night? You said my overhead's not compatible to this thing. I'm not compatible to this thing either. Okay. I'd like to jump ahead before we get to Revelation, the fourth chapter. And, you know, that clock is still malfunctioning. Somebody hadn't fixed it. It's still working, running way too fast. But the last verse in the fourth chapter gives us a very good understanding of what the fourth chapter is about. It says, you are, I can't read that, it's too small print. I have to, you are worthy, O Lord, to see glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by you will they exist and were created. I don't know where we'll be agreeable on the fourth chapter or the rest of the chapter of Revelation, but this is what we can grasp. I think this is one thing God wants us to grasp. God wants us to grasp that He is worthy. God is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And this is what comes about around the throne. About 2 years ago, I had a sermon. I preached here on the fourth and fifth chapter of Revelation around the throne. What happened to it? I don't know. It's not on either one of my flash drive. I don't know what happened to it. I know I preached it here. I remembered it. It was some of Mike Coffey's material that I got at 12th Street 15 years ago, and I had notes of it on it. Finally, I sat down and made a sermon out of it. What happened to it? I can't even find my notes. I was going to take some of that material and adopt it over here in Revelation, but I couldn't find it. For you created all things. Who did? God, His Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And you will, and by you will, they exist and were created. I don't know. Maybe ISIS will be here next year. And whoever the leader is of that, God said, he might kill you. He might cause you to suffer. But he's not in charge. I am. He didn't create this world. I did. He didn't establish his church. I did. You are a member of my church. You are the body of the saved. You are the ones that I'm going to come back to. My friends, I say this with love in my heart, the best way I know to it. If you're not in that body of the saved, he won't come back for you. That's what the Bible teaches. There's one church, Ephesians the fourth chapter. Chapter 1 says, The body and the church are the same thing. One body. And that is Jesus Christ. And a few weeks back, Cindy and I was passing someplace, and they had a big sign out, some denomination. And I said, you know, look like someone that goes to church there would come in and ask, will you get authority for that? I know if I went there, I would. I don't want to open no wounds or anything, but Charlie Hill came out there when we was meeting at the thing. He was a member here, and I remember him sitting right here. And he was eager to learn. And I was teaching a class, and he came up right after class, and he said, the light finally went off. He said, I get it. I said, you get what, Charlie? He said, you got to have authority. I said, yeah, you got it. It's all about authority. You don't do anything without the authority of God Almighty. He tells us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And Charlie finally learned that. And Charlie Hill was a mighty fine man. He's in Abraham's bosom right now, if I understand my Bible. I take a lot of comfort with that, and I hope his family does too. He set the proper example for us. He came, he had a lot of questions. He talked to me about a lot of things. Then finally, the last thing I remember, he said, I finally got it, Charlie. It said, it's all about authority. And I said, you got it. You got it. That's pretty, sound like pretty simple, but it took a long time for the light to go off. I said, you got it. So, well, couldn't get all 11 verses on. I don't have time anyway, but here's what we're going to look at in the fourth chapter. And by the way, Cindy helped me use the same format as Doug. This doesn't work, it's Doug's fault. Okay? So I took the flashlight, just put it right on over there, and just continue on like we did. And Dale will be back Wednesday. He goes to the doctor next Wednesday. I don't think he'll be teaching next Wednesday, so I think he'll probably be stuck with me. Doug will be back next weekend. I'm going to suggest for him not to teach, but knowing Doug, he doesn't want to be here unless he's teaching or preaching. So that's fine. He's getting paid for it. You go ahead and do it. After these things, chapter 4, I look. What things he's talking about? The first three chapters, the seven churches of ages, what we just finished. About the seven churches. And after these things about the churches here on earth, I look and behold a door standing open in heaven. He's going to give a vision of what heaven is like and how we should respond on earth. He's going to show us the things on earth too, but he's also going to show us that. And the main thing we need to get, I said this once, I said it a dozen times, he's in charge. There's nobody equal to his power. Okay? He said, standing in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. Not at the end of time, but now. The church is in torment on earth. They need this reassurance, okay? And immediately I was in the Spirit. I was put in a position to understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal to us. Because I'm going to reveal it to the church there at Laodicea and all the other, and just Southside. God knew about Southside before we even started this work. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. It has to be God. I don't think we're having a disagreement with that. It has to be God. God is on the throne. His headquarters of the church is not here, it's in heaven. Can you hear me, Mike?
Very loud and clear.
I knew you would respond to that. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. I don't know what all of them. I don't know where we have the same names for stones now we have then. Jasper to us will be white, holiness and purity. Sardis will be red like the judgment. I don't know if that's what he's trying to say, but that's one thing that we can put on there. And like Freddie said, it goes with it. You know, but we'll have more to say about that later on. Stone in appearance. Like I said, God is not in human form. You know? And so John has to put words and language and symbolic terms that we can understand. The church is going under persecution. A lot of the symbolic language and terms is for their protection too. Okay? And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. What do you think about when you see a rainbow?
It's a reminder of the covenant God made with Noah.
Yeah. That's just like a school teacher, so technical that it's not what I had in mind, but that's true. It's beautiful. It brings hope. When we see the rainbow, it's beautiful. God put the rainbow there. And the hope. We have hope when we see it. Next time you see the rainbow, you think, oh, I have hope. There's no reason why I shouldn't believe in God. God's not going to destroy the world like he did before. So that's some of the things we'll talk about then. And around the throne was 24 thrones, and on the throne I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. Holiness and purity. Everything there, everything around the throne. We'll talk about who the 24 are pretty soon. And they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne proceeded lightning and thunder and voices. Can't imagine Mount Sinai, does it, Rose?
Exactly the note I have in my heart.
I was reading your mind. I've seen the smokes come up 20 years. You know? And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. God knows all and sees all. He knows about Charlie. He knows about Ann. He even knows about Freddie. He's probably the only one. Ann thinks she does, but she don't. God does though. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass. You know, when we get down about the 21st, 22nd chapter, the glass is gone, but it's there now. It shows that you couldn't approach the throne, but that's going to be eliminated. One of these days, you'll be able to approach it. But also the purity and the calmness of heaven compared to earth. Okay? And in the midst of the throne and around the throne was four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. We'll talk about that. We're going to quit right there. We'll begin right there. Let me see what one I'm on. I'll be on 48, Tom. Tom's not in here.